The only way that we can live in a world that is not our own, it's only when we are obedient to those three admonitions. We have to gird up our mind, we have to be sober, sober thinking, and we have to rest our hope fully upon the return of Jesus Christ.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Pastor Bill continues his study in the epistle of 1 Peter today with the message titled, Living in a World That Is Not Our Home. So let's join the service.
This morning, I want to talk to you about living in a world, this world, that is not our world. Amen? How do we actually do that? You know, Peter did something almost exactly what Paul does. He tells us who we are first before he ever tells us to do anything. And that's what we've been learning. We've learned who we are in Christ. I mean, all over again, even though we know who we are, we've learned that we were chosen by God. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? And that God has set his love on you before the world was ever formed. We've been set apart by the Holy Spirit of God. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. And we're purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And our sins are as far as the east is from the west. And we're something else. We're just like the people, the elect pilgrims that Peter's writing to. We are sojourners. We're resident aliens. This is not our home. Amen? We are living in a home or sojourning through a land that's not ours. And Peter is going to tell us how to live. We've learned what a great salvation that we have, reserved for us in heaven, undefiled, uncorrupted, if you will, never fading away, kept by the power of God. A salvation that is so great, the Old Testament prophets searched deeply into Scripture, the things that they had written by the power of the Holy Spirit about the grace that would be coming to us. Our salvation is so great, as we've learned, angels, they desire to look into it. They watch you. They observe you in every generation, every believer. Now that we know that no believer is exempt from trials, but we are certainly equipped for the trial, amen, if we obey the command in chapter 5, verse 12, where Peter tells us, he commands us to stand in the true grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, to stand firm in that. And every believer, we are 24/7, Romans 5, 2, we stand in the grace of God 24/7, amen? But you have to obey that command, if you will. So writing to encourage every believer in every generation, and assure them that we, if we obey the word of God, we can turn every trial into a triumph by the grace of God. Amen? Because we know it says, remember from last Sunday, it says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be unto God who always leads us in what? Triumph. That is, if he's leading you. And we learned last Sunday something else, that if God be for us, Romans 8:31, if God be for us, all that God is, all that God has, if God be for us, who in the world would even want to be against us? Amen? Who did not spare, verse 32, did not spare his only son, but gave him for us all. Man, listen, how not will God with him freely give us all things? Amen? Remember what I said? God said, you are worth my son. What kind of incredible love is that? That means that we can face anything in this world if we truly believe the word of God. Amen? Okay, now that we know who we are, now that we know all the benefits that we have and all that Jesus has done for us, something happens now. We turn away for a moment from our position in Christ to our practice as believers, or literally our conduct. How do we live in a world that's not ours? This is not our home. We're just pitching our tent, and this is a tent, amen? This tent is only here for just a few minutes, a very brief time. So he starts out in the verses 13 through 21, telling the Jewish believers and believers of every generation How do we live in a place that's not our home? Now, I want you to do a Bible study later on the word conduct. Say that word with me, conduct, in 1 Peter. Do you know he uses that word 7 times? Find where they are and see why he used the word conduct in those specific scriptures. Now, he says in verse 17, he says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here, this world, and it tells us to do it how? In fear. Say that again. In fear. Isn't that amazing? So why did he say that? And how do we actually do that? Well, let's begin in verse 13. He writes, therefore, based on everything that I've told you this morning, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at it again. Therefore, gird up the loins of your what? Your mind. Now, you know, we say that, we don't talk like that, do we? No, but Peter, he uses a metaphor, if you will. He uses a very vivid metaphor because everyone that was reading this letter that he penned by the power of the Holy Spirit, they knew exactly what he meant. Because back then, the Oriental people, they wore the long robe type things, but they had a belt. And if they wanted to move quickly, if they wanted to get somewhere and very fast, remember what they would do? They would pull up their robe, tuck it into their belt, and they were free to move in any direction as quickly as they can. Amen? But we're not talking here in Scripture, we're not talking about physical effort. We're talking about mental effort. Because he said, prepare your mind. So he's saying, if you are a sojourner, if you are a resident alien, in other words, this is not our home. We're citizens of heaven. We're just hanging out here until we get home. Amen? He says, listen, you have to do something with your mind. You have to prepare it. And so what he's saying here is that you have to remove, just like when you did the robe, you have to remove it, tuck it into your belt. Anything that would stop or impede your progress, that's what you're going to have to do. And you do that by up here. You do it in your mind. So you remove anything, it says, anything in this world. Anything as you live in this world that's going to slow you down or change your direction from following God. Amen? Listen, isn't it amazing that Peter tells them, he tells every generation of believers, you must prepare the most troubled area of your entire body. Amen? Wouldn't you say that's the most troubled area?
Yes.
I mean, the mind is an incredible thing. You know, it's like for some reason, and this has nothing to do with my message, but talking about my mind, you know, it's, you know, you go to bed and you go to sleep and you feel great, but then you have like dreams. And most time I don't remember them, but when I've been remembering them the last 2 days and I don't like them. You know, it's like it's watching an old Dracula movie, you know. You know what I mean? I'm going, what is, Lord, what are you trying to, what are you telling me, you know? And they all have to do with it. Never mind, it's all right. So we prepare the most troubled area of our person, our mind. Why? Number one, you live in enemy territory, and our enemy attacks the mind. So you have to prepare that. He wants to fill your mind as you live in this life. From the moment you're a believer, well, even before then, until the day you die, he wants you to think wrong. He doesn't want you to think right things. He wants you to have wrong thinking. So we have to, especially in our text, he's telling them you have to remove everything and anything that concerns trials, sufferings, and persecutions in your life. It says in 1 Peter 4:1, let me just read it to you. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves, it says, with the same mind, his mind. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So listen now, a mind that is girded up. Let's say persecution is coming, and it is. You got to get your mind right. See, it's wonderful to know you're going to face something before you face it, isn't it? Okay, well, this is what Peter's telling them, because they're in horrible persecution, loved one. Nero is going crazy, as you know. Now, so what we have to do is a prepared mind is a mind that has been renewed by the Word of God. There's a very interesting scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23. Let me read it to you. It says, be renewed. That's present tense, so it'd be actually continually be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That's an interesting word, spirit of your mind. It's not talking about now the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the human individual spirit. And it's not even talking about the mind. It's talking about the spirit of your mind. Isn't that a wild phrase? So what does it mean? It means you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that part that Adam lost, if you will, in the garden at the fall. Amen? Where all that wrong thinking came from. So you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. How many minds are there really on this earth? There's only two. Amen? Didn't you see the two fingers? Okay, all right. There's only two. There are the minds that are literally being transformed, and they're being transformed to the things of God. And then there's the natural mind, the fallen person whose mind is being conformed to the things of this world. That's the only two on this planet. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Amen? There's no in between. We know from Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, where Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, I beseech, I beg you, I'm pleading with you. He says that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God, which is your logical or reasonable, or your reasonable worship, if you will. And it says, and be ye transformed. It says, by the renewing of your what? By your mind. That's getting into the Word of God. Now listen, the absence of God's truth, Christian, in your life, you know what it breeds? Confusion. And we live in a confused world, but we should not be confused because God is not the author of confusion. Remember what I said, I think it was last Sunday or maybe the Sunday before? I said, we need to be like Job. We need to treasure God's word, his word, more than our daily nourishment. Amen? More than our necessary food. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Jesus said in John 8:31, he says, if you abide, if you live, if you draw strength from, if you're in union, if you abide in my word, he says, you are my disciples indeed. And then my life scripture follows. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth will what? Set absolute free. But that is the truth that you know and the truth that you apply in your life. It's just not knowing that truth. So he says, gird up the loins of your mind. That's the first thing, okay? Prepare your mind for action. Get right. Wrong thinking, get rid of it. And then he says, the second thing is to be sober. Very important word. It means to have a sober mind or a mind that makes sound and right judgments. So that's our conduct in a world that is not ours. We have to be sober, which means to be self-controlled, the opposite of being out of control. And self-control, Galatians 5:23, is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So we have it in us right now. Now, we're not controlled by what we see. A lot of Christians are. But we're not controlled by what we see. We are controlled by what we know. Amen? And we know God's word. We know the truth of God's word. And if you don't, you know what happens to your mind? It becomes sometimes crippled or paralyzed by fear and worry and all the rest of it. So to be sober means to be mentally alert, to be on your guard. You know, if you're living in a world, we're living in a world, was the devil alive back then? Okay, is the devil alive today? Amen. And you know what Peter told them about as you travel through this world that's not yours? Let me read it to you. 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be sober. Have self-control. Don't fall apart. Be sober, vigilant, meaning stay awake, be alert, because your adversary, the devil, he walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, it says, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So if we're going to make sound judgments, if we're going to have a sober mind, the only way we can do that is to keep our mind detoxed from the world that we live in. Man, because how many thousands of voices do you hear? Come on. I mean, just think of all the noises out there. You ever just want to just go, and, you know, my wife likes to watch whatever it's called, Alone, that where they're out in the middle of no, and they're surviving by alone. you know, they have a little bow and arrow or what, I don't know. Well, I sometimes would like to be out there alone, but not surviving like that, just away from all the voices. I mean, just think of if you turn off your computer, turn off your iPad, turn off your cell phone. They don't have pagers anymore, do they? Okay, well, whatever you have that alerts you. Just think if all of your communication was just, your TV didn't work. I mean, it was all gone. I mean, and you just had to hear nothing but the voice of the Holy Spirit. Man, man, man. Listen, we have to keep our mind detoxed. How do you do that? Well, we've learned that, I don't know, a couple of months back. Remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses, 3 and following? It says that, you know, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world, but they're mighty through God, that divine supernatural of God. They're mighty through God to the pulling down, the destroying, the tearing apart of strongholds. A stronghold is a house built on thoughts. In this case, it means that we are to tear down any false thinking, anything that contradicts God's word, we are to destroy and not let it dwell here. We detox our mind, amen? And that's important to keep doing that. As a matter of fact, it goes on, it says, and anything that exalts itself against or above the word of God, we're to cast it down. We're to remove it, man, because that's wrong thinking. That means that your mind is not a sober mind if you don't detox it, okay? And he says here we have to do something else on our conduct in a world that's not ours. We gird up our minds. We're sober. Be sober. And look at the next one. It's a command, by the way. It says, rest your hope. What's that next word? Fully. That means to bring it to completion, if you will. Rest your hope fully upon the grace. Now watch this. That is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, meaning at the rapture of the church. Verse 7, remember when we talked about our like precious faith that's more precious than gold is going to be revealed at his appearing? Well, see, what's happening right now is that literally that is being brought to us. It's right now. That's what that word means. It means not only to be given, it means this is on the way. We just don't know when. We don't know when the Lord is going to come. But the command there, rest or fix your hope upon that. Titus 2:11 says this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's past tense, the first coming. It says, in teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live in this world that's not our own. We should live soberly, that self-control, that mind, if you will. And listen, a self-controlled mind comes from sound, healthy doctrine or sound, healthy teaching. Amen? That's how we get a good mind. Now, it says that we live soberly, righteously, and here it comes, godly in this present age. We live in this world, but we do not live for this world. Amen? Now, it says, and looking, being expectant, looking for the blessed hope, and that hope is a person, is Jesus Christ, a glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So a renewed mind, a sober mind does something. It rests its hope fully, and the word hope there means certain. It's sure. It's unchangeable. We don't have to worry about it. We know God's word is true. Amen? You rest your hope fully upon that, which is our final salvation, if you will. When Jesus appears, we're going to be like him. That's glorification. Boy, what a day that's going to be. So something happens when you have a mind in this world that is full of hope. That's all, just hopeful, because biblical hope is certain. It's sure. Amen? So if you have really the living hope of God in your thinking, do you think that would drive out discouragement? Can hope and discouragement live together? No. Can hope and worry live together? No. You see, hope pushes all those things out of your thinking. That's another way we detox our mind. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully now. We're living in a world that's not ours. They were, we are. The only way that we can live in a world that is not our own as a believer, it's only when we are obedient to those three admonitions. We have to gird up our mind. We have to be sober, self-controlled. sober thinking, good judgment, and we have to rest our hope fully upon the return of Jesus Christ. He is coming. He could come right now. Amen? Now, listen to me very carefully. Now, if we don't do those, we're not prepared. Prepared to do what? We're not prepared to do verse 17, which to me is the key verse in our study, okay? So the key verse there, verse 17, look at it. Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Why? How do we do that? Well, let's just go ahead and go to 14 now. How we live before God, and we'll get to 17. We're living before God now, every generation of believers, it says, as obedient children. Literally, it reads in the Greek, children of obedience. And we're doing something. We're born from above, so we're not conforming ourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. In other words, we don't now, since we're born from above, since we're new creations in Christ, old things passed away, all things have become new, we're not letting ourselves be remolded into what we were before we were saved. Amen? Those things have passed away. We're born from above. So we're no longer, we don't live in ignorance anymore. You know, there's a scripture in the Old Covenant. It says, in His light, we see light. Isn't that a beautiful scripture? In God's light, we see light. You know, the Bible says in 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie. We don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He in the light, we have fellowship, koinonia, with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Amen? So here it says, as obedient children, and look what it says in verse 15. But as He, meaning God, who called you, and when did He call you? Before creation, remember, it says, as He who called you is holy. He's a holy God. You know, if you study out the call, how you're called in 1 Peter, let me just give you a few scriptures. Here, of course, you're called to be holy. In chapter 2, verse 9, you're called out of darkness. In chapter 2, 21, you're called to suffer with Christ. In chapter 3, verse 9, you're called to inherit a blessing. And then when we get all the way over to chapter 5, verse 10, you're called to eternal glory. Well, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Amen. So He says, God is holy. He said, He, the one who calls you, is holy. And look what you to do. Here comes the command. You also be holy in all your conduct. The word there, be, means to becoming holy. Okay? Becoming holy in everything that you do in your life. The word holy, hagios, means, of course, saint. It means set apart. But it comes from a root word that means different. Christians are different. Amen? We're not like the world. We look like everybody else, but we are different, okay? And so here, holiness is speaking of one thing, our conduct in a world that we don't belong to, that this is not our home. It's talking about the lifestyle of the believer, if you will. So it says, in all of your conduct, everything that you do, it says to be holy. Let me give you a few scriptures. Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do in word or deed, that covers a lot, doesn't it? It says, do all of that in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do in this life, no matter what it is, do it heartily, meaning with all of your heart, as to the Lord and not unto men. 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whatever you eat or drink, are you going to go to lunch today? Only three people in this place are going to eat? I don't believe that. No, whatever you eat or drink, here it comes. Whatever you do in this life, no matter what it is, driving your car on 820, whatever you do, listen, it says, do all of it to the glory of God. That is everything we do. All of our conduct is set apart. Amen?
Well, we're out of time for today, but Pastor Bill will conclude this message on tomorrow's program, and we look forward to seeing you once again. We appreciate you listening with us today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. Good day, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.